What's up, guys? Welcome back to Kinda Funny's X-Men Cinematic Universe in Review. That's right. We're taking you back to where it almost all began. We started this entire series with the MCU in review, and our second ever in review series was X-Men. Remember that time, boys? Remember how long ago that was? Watching all of those movies, those classic films? And here we are.
It's nice.
Finally reviewing the final movie ever.
Wow. Ever. Thank wow. God. Good riddance, wow. You know what I mean? Like, let it end. Yeah, let it die.
It's nice to see our intro, that intro we haven't seen in so long with all those classic pictures of us stretched. It's awesome. It's a beautiful intro. It was also crazy. It's like starting this movie off and seeing 20th Century Studios.
Yeah.
Last time we're going to see that, right?
Well, no, because technically that is what they renamed
Fox.
That's Fox. So we're still going to get movies underneath that
banner
under Disney.
That makes sense. That's actually kind of a smart idea for them, but just to kind of distinguish it a little bit so they can go hopefully a little darker like this one was, which I doubt they'll do. But I mean, it was kind of cool to see something that was a little bit more geared toward the dark instead of sort of scary. Wish they'd have tipped it a little bit more, but we'll get into that in a sec.
Yeah, it's just pretty crazy to me that we're going back to an in-review, and definitively we know this is the final entry in this. We will never return to this, because if we ever do X-Men in the future, it'll be part of the MCU.
Lock so it up, throw away the key, Greg.
Lockheed it up.
Vroom, vroom. And then it's like Superman. And remember in Smallville when Clark threw it at the end of that one season, that was the season finale.
Who could forget?
In review? I am begging you.
I'll go with you, man.
That voice you hear is the one and only Greg Miller. And that voice you heard after that was Nick Scarpino.
Sneaky, sneaky. There's no Wolverine in this movie.
We also got Andy Cortez.
Hey, everybody. What a movie.
Sneaky, sneaky. And then we have Kevin wearing his Wolverine outfit.
Yeah, I think it's an X-Men soccer jersey.
It's Team Liquid jersey that they sent us. It's got my name on it.
Nice. That's great.
Wow. That is so way more custom than I expected.
It's got his name on it. He came to pick up a PC for me a couple weeks ago. And he was like, yeah, they sent it over. It says kind of funny. And he showed me it. And I was like, oh, it says kind of funny, Kevin. He goes, oh, yeah, I didn't know that.
I didn't. All I saw, I hadn't opened it fully.
I got it. I have the Team Liquid thing, too, right? Like, I got the sweater and the pants and stuff. I had a let me go see if my – well, I think Jen might be on a call. Let me see if I can sneak in there and see if I have my name written on it.
I asked them for the – I think they had a Wolverine sweater. And I got an Iron Man sweatsuit. But like it's become like one of my favorite things to wear.
Kevin, really high quality. Kevin, I apologize, but I have to have this conversation.
Yeah.
Kevin came over last night to watch New Mutants in the theater.
This. Yeah.
And he wore this sweatsuit that he's talking about that is like, Kevin, can you stand up and show the pants?
These are the pants to the sweatsuit. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So it's these pants with a matching hoodie.
Jeez, so you're selling cell phones on the sidewalk? What's going on?
With his hair up in the little Kevin bun. And, like, I am just so happy you weren't there. Because you would not have been nice. It would have been extremely mean.
You think Nick's mean it matters?
Kevin, don't let him.
It's so comfortable. You know, the other day,
the same thing happened to me. But only because I dropped Red Bull on my black pants. My black jeans that I was going to go to CVS in. So I was like, all right, I was about to go to CVS. I have the red hoodie on. Let me put on these red sweatpants. And I walked out and Barrett was like, Andy, you look ridiculous. And I was like, I know.
First of all, it's one of those things that it's comfort over or function over fashion.
Yeah,
for sure. The bun, your hair, nobody ever told me this. When you have long hair, it's hot. It's constantly hot. It's not just the back of your neck. It's everything. So if I don't put it up, I'm going to be sweating. You know?
When I had the mullet. I thought of you when I had the mullet, Kevin, because as it got longer, I'd be like, why is it sticking to the back of my neck? And it was because of sweat. It was disgusting. I want it back so badly.
No. Now, in a similar thing to all of this, I'll let you guys know, I'm actually wearing my filthy casual joggers that I adore and love. But I can't wear them outside anymore because there's a bunch of white spots around my crotch area. And I know what you're thinking. You want to make a bunch of jokes, right? It's not from my penis. It turns out Porty's dick is wet all the time, and we don't know why.
Why is you guys are going dick to dick?
That's our king.
That's how dad and son bond.
God damn it.
Bring him up.
back in the X-Men universe, motherfuckers.
Mangoes. One more thing I do want to add. When I go to Tim's house to watch something, I'm usually in PJs. Like, it's, I'm maxing out comfort.
Yeah, I have not. Well, I don't know why you guys think I would have given Kevin shit for that. I have not. I have not worn sweatpants in like 7 months.
I'm wearing. Look at how high I can kick in mine.
You're missing the point. It's not about the sweatpants. I'm totally team sweatpants and all this. It's about the fact that there's no way Nick would look at Kevin wearing matching hoodie and sweatpants and not give
Nick
a shit.
The other day, well, we went last week to see another movie. Oh, we can't talk about that yet. And me and Paula, so I had my red and black tracksuit on. Paula had a blue and white one that was in the same pattern. Mm-hmm. We were adorable.
There was something. I'm down for that. You could watch this live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. You could watch it later on youtube.com/kindoffunny or roosterteeth.com. If you want to listen to it, just search your favorite podcast service for Kind of Funny Reviews and we'll be right there for you. We've done reviews for many, many classic franchises. So there's sure to be something that you'll like if you're here on Kind of Funny because we talk about all the same shit that everyone else would want to listen to, baby. If you want to get the show ad free, you go to patreon.com/kindoffunny, just like James Davis, Andrew Feisner, Jeremy Zuccarello, and Simply Sassy did. We appreciate all of them very much. Today, we're brought to you by Manscaped Honey and HBO Max, but we'll talk about that later because right now, we need to finally talk about The New Mutants. Released on April 13th, 2018. That's not right. It got delayed. Got delayed to make room for Deadpool 2.
I can't believe no one's made an old mutants joke yet.
So instead, it was released on February 22nd.
How was that, Kevin?
2019. But no, it got delayed. It got delayed to make room for Dark Phoenix. Then no, August 2nd, 2019, got delayed because Disney got a little antsy, bought Fox. April 3rd, pandemic happened, guys. So August 28th is when it finally came out. August 28th, 2020. In theaters, and it didn't do well. So they sent it to streaming and Blu-ray pretty early, November 17th, 2020. And here we are today reviewing this movie.
I was going to try to go above and beyond at this job because Lord knows I don't. Like, I don't do anything at this company.
Yeah. What is the subscriber count on Twitch that you're waiting for to leave us? What is that golden number in your head to hit that you're just going to fucking give us the 2 weeks?
I'll have my accountant run the numbers. I'll get back to you on that.
Thank you.
Andy, it's 600 more views per stream. That's what we decided for both of us to leave.
Oh, for Nick too.
Oh, man. I guess you're never leaving. You can't handle Nick on his own.
I was going to try to go back and try to find clips from the old Kind of Funny morning shows to when this news would have been released. And it was so hard to dig through because I looked at when the movie was announced. And it was announced, I believe, May 2017 as, they hired the guy who did The Fault in Our Stars to write this new Mutants movie. And so I tried to find morning shows around that date. We didn't do time codes back in the day. It was tough. I just really wanted to find that first clip of, wow, New Mutants. This sounds pretty cool.
This could be cool. This could be a horror movie.
This could be neat. And then I just wanted to kind of juxtapose that to our feelings today. But if you could find that out there, audience, that would be swell. If you could. And I'll take full credit.
God
for
bless you.
More of that, it's pretty crazy to think that, like, from where we were there to where we're at now, like, the Joker movie exists. Like that, and we're reviewing it next week. Ironically, I feel like the two movies we talked about most were New Mutants and Joker, and Venom as another one. And wow, here we are. But this one, directed by Josh Boone, an American filmmaker best known for directing the romantic drama The Fault in Our Stars, which came out in 2014. Boone also wrote and directed the romantic comedy Stuck in Love. This film's principal photography was described as stressful for Boone, who felt a bit neutered during the process due to having to tone down the film from his original full horror ideas. A budget of $80 million, a box office of just $45.8 million, a runtime of an hour and 34 minutes. With a runtime of 94 minutes, this stands as the shortest film in the X-Men film series. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much for making decision. That was very cool.
I was
very
rad. That's one of my secret delights.
That's my secret delight. For damn sure, baby. An hour and 34 minutes. Oh, my God. Anyway, boys, what do we think of New Mutants?
It's funny because for an hour and 34 minutes, boy, nothing happened. There's multiple times when I'm watching scenes of this movie, I'm like, what is the plot of this movie? There is nothing happening in this. And I know they're just going to have to escape at the end, but I don't know.
Having said that, I
did enjoy watching the movie for an hour and 34 minutes. I thought I was not bored watching it. I'll say that.
But were you in? So you weren't bored, but were you hate watching it? And like, oh my God, this accent is terrible. Oh my God. Which one?
Exactly.
Multiple times.
We got to rank the accents in this one because Jesus Christ, I love that it's like, okay, here's Anya Taylor-Joy. And it's like, okay, that's a Russian accent.
Yeah, that's a choice that they're committing to.
Here's Arya Stark. I don't know what that is, but she's doing
Irish?
It.
Was it yeah. Irish?
Yeah, she had an Irish.
Irish, Scottish. It was something. It's something, right?
No, then, you cannot mix them up. You cannot mix them up.
Yeah, they get really mad when you do that.
Okay,
yeah,
they sound, but like, blame me, blame it sounded Arya. Like she didn't know which one she was doing.
Yeah, but then they followed it up with like, This dude, it's like, okay, what's your accent? I guess I'm just
kept
poor.
From Kentucky.
I'm just.
They
what
kept
the
calling
fuck?
Him Kentucky, so he's like, I'll just do a Kentucky accent. And the director was like, sure, fuck it, go
good,
with it.
Good, go, care. Published.
And
it was
so
he was the worst.
It's so
he was so
yeah.
bad.
Stranger Things guy was pretty bad. I will say that like the thing where this movie fails on a lot of areas, but I think the worst thing is that if there were any other X-Men movies that were as boring as this, and there are, we can still fall on the fact that I at least like a lot of the characters in these X-Men universes.
Sure,
so even
sure.
if the movie's boring and kind of sucks and
we're enjoying Hugh Jackman. We're enjoying
and feels bland. Yeah. I'm getting Hugh Jackman talking to fucking James McAvoy. I'm getting I was gonna say Cumberbatch. No, it's fucking the
MCU.
The guy with the big dick. What's
Fassbender.
His name?
Fassbender.
Fassbender, yeah. I'm getting Fassbender and McAvoy and awesome. Oh, yeah, he's got a huge hog, yeah. But I'm just getting like great that. Back I'm getting They're great nasty. Back and forth between them all. But here it's like I don't care about any of these characters. I don't really care about what's happening in this movie. I was just really bored, even in the scenes where I should have felt scared, knowing me, who gets scared of everything. I just didn't care.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is it's not that it's just that it's so predictable what was going to happen, right? And she was like, my boss, I'm working for this person. I'm like, there's no way it's Professor X. That's not how he does. We know that. We've seen how he inducts specific, like, super dangerous mutants into his house. He takes them in and then,
right.
you know, like Jean Grey. So we knew it wasn't going to be that. We knew it was going to be one of the more insidious corporations. And there was not really any, like, the mystery behind it was just kind of like, I don't know. The characters, I thought, had some fun moments. And I liked that it kind of felt like kind of Breakfast Club horror-ish. But I just think that at the end of the day, them fighting her spirit monster was just like, I don't know if this is as the stakes need to be a little bit higher for me to really care about who these characters are. But
the stakes
are
so incredibly low in this entire movie because every single time they present stakes, 2 minutes later, they will counteract it and then just be like,
they'll just say like, oh, they can't hurt you.
Oh, don't worry. They can't hurt you.
It's like,
why can't they hurt you? We just saw someone get hurt by
Brandon. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, come the fuck on. Or like when they have the fire guy pick her up to run, they're like, don't worry, you won't hurt her.
Why
you
yeah. he gets hot
her.
When he gets nervous.
And see that's an issue I have, but that's one of the things. So to back up and speak positively about the film, I like that the mystery sort of unravels and you're like, all these kids are here for a reason, and they had to sort of come to their own accord, tell their stories, and the stories were sad. This is one of the things I like about X-Men is there's always consequences, right? There's always consequences and pros and cons for being a mutant, which is like you have these awesome powers, but society hates you and or you can't control them. And you unfortunately done some horrible stuff because of that. And I like that that's where we find all these characters. And I like that that's sort of their arc in this. I think they did a good job at that. It's just that's the B plot to an A plot that's super predictable. And there's not a lot of meat on that, you know?
Yeah, I think that compared to most of the other X-Men movies, like this one is such a bummer because on paper it rocks and it feels very difficult to mess up. It's way smaller scale. It all takes place in one location and it's supposed to be kind of scary. And it's a bunch of kids coming to grips with exactly what you just said, Nick. It's like some real dark shit. Like the fact that these kids' backstories, we don't know all of them. Like it's cool. It's set up to be awesome. And obviously it's set up that, okay, there's Professor X. It's not going to really be Professor X. Like all this stuff.
Not.
It's cool. And yet they just floundered the whole thing. Like they whiffed the shot, I think, more often than not, if not every single time in this movie, where I was like, it's not the worst thing I've ever seen, but nothing about this is engaging or like fulfilling the potential that it could have hit.
And I do feel bad. I do feel bad because we know the long storied, you know, development. We know how all the struggles that this movie went through and the rewrites and the reshoots and all.
There wasn't any. This is the thing. That was all rumors. None of that actually happened.
It felt like it was reshot.
Really?
Principal Photography began on July 10, 2017 in Boston under the working title Growing Pains, primarily at Medfield State Hospital.
Great name.
Yeah, I know. It's really good. The film was then delayed while reshoots were planned, and Disney began the process of acquiring production company 20th Century Fox. After the acquisition was completed, Boone returned to work on the film, and it was completed without reshoots in March 2020. In March 9, 2020, Boone breaks the silence on rumors around the movie's delays. Everybody said we did reshoots. We've never done reshoots. And I'll tell you this, if there hadn't been a merger, I'm sure we would have done reshoots the same way every movie does pickups. We didn't even do that because by the time the merger was done and everything was settled, everybody was older. We couldn't do anything. Describing returning to the film after so long, Boone said, we hadn't seen it in a year. We did a bunch of things here and there that we hadn't thought about or noticed a year before. The visual effects that still needed to be finished, including Ileana's sorceress abilities, the soul sword that materializes, as well as the Lockheed stuff. Visual effects were done after that. There was some editing things here and there, but there were absolutely no reshoots.
Wow. See, it feels to me like a lot. It feels to me that they watched. they definitely needed more in this. And it feels to me they watched the movie. And the things that stood out the most were the security camera stuff that you can totally tell were added, either added or put in originally for context, and they just don't work. Because you end up watching, you end up getting exposition through just reading text on
through things popping up, like little dialogue trees of like, this happens.
Psionic now energy, her psionic energy is off the charts.
And it just feels so flat. Yeah. And then you juxtapose that, like, but I think they did a good job with Danny's story, I thought, where it was like, you kind of knew that she was the one behind the bear, but you're like, all right, let's get there. Let's get her there. And to me, the whole thing was sort of a metaphor.
How'd you know that, Nick? Did you know that she was behind the bear? Because the movie starts off saying fucking bear. Yeah. And I have a bear necklace. Come on.
Yeah. So I wish they had been a little bit
Tim
more.
Tim found it tough to bear.
Wow. You got to bear down on that one, Tim.
Same joke.
You did it again.
mine was vaguely way more sexual.
Here, Nick, you could say some of these scenes were really grisly
or unbearable.
Ah! You said grisly.
Okay. Anyway, I liked that the whole movie was sort of a metaphor for psychotherapy, and I liked the kids had to sort of come to terms with telling their story and understand what they've done and kind of grow beyond that. I don't think they really knocked it out of the park. And I think with Danny's character, I thought it was cool because you're like, oh, we're experiencing her figuring out her powers for the first time, and she doesn't quite know what they are, even though it's fairly obvious to anyone watching this movie that she's the one creating all these images for people that are happening. What I found myself baffled with was every kid has to sort of discover their powers and tell you them as they sort of admit them to each other, which I thought was a cool way to do it. Except then we get to Ileana. So we got one guy whose powers are I get really hot and I get lit on fire. And then I got another guy who's like, I can just launch myself into the sky. Then her powers are like, I can manifest these things. Then Ileana has a cool lightsaber, a metallic arm, and can also disappear. And can also make her own world. I'm like, can somebody explain to me what these are? Because I don't have context for her.
Classic X-Men, man.
Like, Jesus. I don't know what's going on. Why does she have 50 different powers? Why? I don't understand.
Well, that was my thing. Is like with the movie, and like, obviously, you know, we're nitpicking on, but well, I guess we're not. These are just plot holes, I feel like, right? Of like, when her greatest fear comes back, these soul sucking skeleton face, you know, whatever dudes,
the skinny man or smiling man,
Yeah. When he and then multiple appear and she's like, run, I'm like, Why? You are not a child anymore. You have a metal arm and sword. Fuck these guys up. And it's the same thing of like when they're like all trying to leave and the doors are locked and the doctor's like, you're not going anywhere. It's like,
kill the doctor.
Why? I'm going to stab you. I'm going to vibrate through your fucking face. I'm going to go on fire. Like, I understand that like before we played within the rules of you of like, all right, cool. You're you know, grooming us to be X-Men. You're helping us, man. We start to understand, and then all hell breaks loose and we're still like, all right, person who can make barriers. Sure. But I think we could get you. I think we could probably fuck you up.
And that's the thing too, is that vision she gets of the Essex Corporation, like holding a facility or whatever it is.
Yeah.
That's what I kind of expected a little bit more energy to go into in this, where it doesn't feel like they're being held captive because there's only ever one person you see, and her power doesn't seem like it's that powerful to the point where if these people, now I know the whole idea was that you give them an antagonist so that if Jesus Christ,
Kevin's got a small pony in his house.
I understand you have to give them an antagonist they can overcome, and they're all learning their powers and have to come together as this sort of new mutant X-Men team. And they did that, but you think they would have gotten to that a lot earlier, especially since we get there and we're like, how long have these kids been here? Like, have they not gotten violent and tried to kill this person who's clearly the one causing the only, like, you know, kill her? Obviously, the shield's going to go down. Yeah. So because her power, we've seen her use that power.
But there's
so,
like, always the risk that.
But they act like these kids have been here for at least long enough to know each other. Right.
Yeah.
But there's also been hundreds of kids killed. So it's like they're not putting it together that these kids are being killed.
There's a graveyard with
numbers on it. And like, I don't know. Like, I get the feeling that these kids were in this place for at least a month together.
Right. Yeah. But I think that, like,
well, they're in there long enough for the guy to be like, I'm just going to do dishes and not care about life anymore. Like, that guy's constantly doing. I'm like, does no one else do dishes?
It rides this weird line where, yeah, there's this, like, at times, like, all right, cool, show the new kid around. We've been here forever. Then someone will reveal their backstory that you didn't know already. Okay. Then it's like the girl from Queen's Gambit is going to be a complete and fucking, a complete and total bitch the entire time. There's five of you. Like, I understand if this was a giant school and you were the bitch and you had your little clique. And you, there's five of you. You're all bonded together at this point.
Yeah. Also, there's a, so it sounds like, they reveal that, like, oh, this is a facility that they, like, are setting up people, and then they send them to the Logan facility, right?
Right, the one where they, like, would do, where they made weapons.
Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, that's a facility Essex. Where they were cloning X-Men.
Yeah. Well, they were doing all sorts of crazy shit.
They weren't sending DNA, but it's just, like, it made it seem like they were going to send them to that facility next, and, like, that's not how that facility works. But they just needed reused footage. Like, they needed footage, and they were like, let's reuse that.
It's literally the same footage from Logan. Like, just straight up. Which doesn't make sense, because it'd be the future. Because they're talking about the X-Men as if Professor X is, like, still Professor X. Right? And remember in Logan,
not an old crippled
man. Very much in the future.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's a weird call. Where it's like, okay, so in her weird nightmare thing, she saw a vision into the future that's completely unrelated to her story at all, because they're like, we got to kind of make this connect to the X-Men movies, even though we're really just going to avoid that at all costs. James McAvoy was supposed to be in this movie, but then they ended up not having that bit. So here in 2019, Disney was said to be unimpressed with the New Mutants, believing it had limited box office potential. At the end of the month, this was reported to be the studio's impression of the original cut of the film. Further work had been completed on the film since Disney acquired it to align the film with Boone's original vision, editing-wise, and test screenings with these changes had been positive. In addition to making the film more frightening, these changes reportedly removed connections to the X-Men films. McAvoy was supposed to be in it, but they removed that stuff. However, the film, as released, does make reference to the previous entries, with the inclusion of the Essex Corporation connecting the film to the post-credit scene of Apocalypse and to the straight-up use of footage from Logan.
You think Disney was like, hey, you know, we don't like the movie, and also the gay stuff. Don't do the gay stuff. Like, you gotta assume that conversation took place with how they've sort of pushed gay relationships in the background, and even with, like, Star Wars, there's gonna be the first gay kiss on screen, and it was the lesbians kissing in the background that you, like, they're 10 pixels like, high that you can barely see or whatever.
Is it 15 CP3POs, like, go right in front of them? put more CP3POs. No one's going to know that.
I do see this. I did love that part. I think this movie is great, like, for diversity. I think there's a lot of, if you show this movie to somebody 15 years ago, they'd be like, how did this movie get made? Look at this cast. The main character is a lesbian. That's awesome. She's falling in love with fucking Arya Stark. This is really, really cool. But the movie still just sucks. And it's a bummer.
They didn't nail that stuff. The casting of Henry Zaga as Roberto da Costa was met with some controversy. Zaga, while Brazilian in real life, portrays a character who in the comics is of Afro-Brazilian descent. Boone stated, my goal was to cast a real Brazilian, and I saw 300 of myself, black, brown, lighter skinned. I saw every shade of the sun. It was the same cast with Blue Hunt. My goal was to find the best actor who, because they've done so little work, was at least the closest to kind of what I saw in my head for the character. Maybe if Henry didn't exist, I would have found someone who was darker skinned, who exemplified what I needed, but it was never about the color of their skin for me. He added that he was not concerned with the real life racism that existed in Brazil.
And then I'm not concerned with that racism.
He wanted the character to be a positive representation of the nation. And I don't know if you guys caught up with any of this stuff, but, like, this was a really, like, big controversy when this was released in theaters a couple months ago.
I did not know about any of that. Did not know about any of that.
I was just like, this guy is unnaturally good looking and he's distracting to me. Can we please get him off? Oh, he's shirtless.
I was certain that his powers were very different than what they actually
were. Born in labs. Now it's time to rank those abs.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Rank Those Abs with Nick Scarpino and my co-host, Andy the Fire Cortez El Fuego. This guy, I got to be 100% honest. I don't remember a lot of the abs from the X-Men series because the last time we reviewed one of these movies was back in 2014. But holy shit, this guy is cut.
I mean,
he looks fantastic. I'm gonna put this. That's a good point, actually.
In every movie,
Jackman did do like horse steroids just to get that big. So I'll put this guy at number two, below every Hugh Jackman. Hugh Jackman to like. What was the one where he went back in the past? Days of Future Past. That's when he looked most.
Well, you gotta keep in mind we have Hugh Jackman and shirtless Fassbender in these movies.
Oof, oof. Yeah, but Fassbender's like very skinny. He didn't put on a lot of weight. This guy, Henry Zaga's arms are like he's working out. He's very defined, which is difficult to do. Trust me, I try to do it every morning when I get up and do nothing, absolutely nothing.
Okay. When do you think Fassbender was most jacked?
When was he
at?
Oh,
it was First Class, right? I would say it's First Class.
Let's say First Class.
You can watch X-Men First Class on HBO Max, ladies and gentlemen. This episode is brought to you by HBO Max. In true 2020 fashion, the holidays are going to look a little different this year. That's why we partnered with HBO Max to keep the spirit of togetherness alive with their library of feel-good films for the holiday season. Are X-Men feel-good films? Not necessarily, but there's a lot of togetherness, you know? So
Family.
You can watch a lot of different things on HBO Max. It's pretty awesome, including this Christmas, Wonder Woman 1984. That's exciting stuff. Personally, we will be watching Wonder Woman 1984 on Christmas. Very excited for that. You can get cozy at home this holiday season by heading to HBOMax.com right now. So many of our interview series have movies that are on HBO Max, including Annabelle Creation that we recently watched and Welcome Home. You can check them out there. Again, go to HBOMax.com right now to check it out. Next up, I want to give a shout out to Honey. We've talked about Honey so many times, and if you're not using it by now, I don't understand. I don't understand what I need to tell you. It's so easy to use, and it saves you so much money. All you got to do is install it once in your browser. Every computer you use should have it, because when you're searching on over 30,000 different stores, it applies the best coupons possible to your checkout, and it just saves you money. It literally takes seconds, and you're saving so much. I've saved money. Kevin saved money. Kind of Funny saved money.
I've saved a lot of money.
Also, Greg Miller's been saving money, man. Honey has found it's over 17 million members, over $2 billion in savings. It's fantastic stuff. It's simple. If you have a computer, Honey should be on it. It's free and works with whatever browser you use. You can get Honey for free today at joinhoney.com/morning. That's joinhoney.com/morning. And finally, shout out to Manscaped. Jingle balls to the walls, fellas. Untrimmed pubes are a thing of the past. It's time to gear up and get yourself the gift of shaving this holiday season. I'm talking about the Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0. We've all been there. All of us at this table right now have dealt with some times where we've nicked or snagged our nuts while we're manscaping. It's real bad. It hurts. It's bloody. It's a disgusting mess. You don't want that. You just want to be clean. You want to smell good. You want to look good. And that's what Manscaped's here to do. Their Lawnmower 3.0 has proprietary skin-safe technology, so this trimmer cuts on only the things that it's supposed to get on your nuts, not your nuts themselves. Don't use the same trimmer on your face as you're using on your balls. That's just nasty. Come on, please don't do that. The perfect package will also come with a pair of Manscaped boxers that'll keep your junk feeling fresh all day. It's time to upgrade those overused pairs of boxers to Manscaped's high performance anti-chafing boxers. Nothing worse than chafing down there. I know from the experience. You can get 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com/morning. Your balls will thank you. Get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com/morning. Back to it.
I was thinking about blood nuts.
Ew, Jesus.
Blood nuts?
I don't want to know.
We're not doing the rating thing anymore.
Oh, I apologize. Yeah, that was a 7 out of 10, predictable. Saw it coming.
Mm. No, damn. You didn't. You didn't see it coming until Andy called it out.
Andy saw it coming. But if Andy saw it coming, then I should have seen it coming. So I'm marking you down a point for me not seeing it coming.
It's fair. If Andy sees something coming, you can assume that once Andy says he sees it coming, that Nick will
take credit.
56%, he'll see it coming.
Andy is like my early alert warning. It's like a carbon monoxide alarm.
So earlier, I was just real quick, then we'll get to the plot. I was complaining about how it's like the rules of this movie make no sense, where they'll say, like, oh, you can't hurt you, but we just saw that it can hurt you. Another one of those moments.
But this was about his mind, man. I can't take her. You can take her. I believe in you. That's what she was saying. Maisie Williams was saying, I believe you, in a weird accent.
So why did Maisie Williams look at Danny in the shower in a scene that was just like way too naked for my taste? Just everything about it was weird.
Way too naked?
Way too naked, man. And
also, it was like, hey, we definitely don't have cameras here. And it's like, they definitely did.
Like, that's the thing. Like, oh, yeah, we're in the one place that doesn't have cameras. Like, we're safe here. Like, no one's watching us. Until 15 minutes later when they're like, oh, let's go to the one other place that doesn't have cameras, the attic area. What the fuck? Why have lines that explain that?
They might have mics in the shower. Upstairs in the attic, they're sure nobody's listening and watching. Yeah, and they were still listening and watching.
Of course they were.
Because why wouldn't they be? Like,
why have any of these lines if they don't mean shit? It's just weird. What's the fucking plot?
Plot. Everybody. Hey, everybody. Welcome.
My wife is working next door.
We haven't done a plot chant in a long time, and we're working home now. Welcome to the New Mutants, finally. You know, our national nightmare of not being able to get this film is over. We are here, and we have this film. And let me start by talking about bears, all right? Everybody's got two bears. One time you have a brown bear, the other side's got a black bear, and the brown bear, he's all like, ah, and the Papa black bear, he's like, hey, you know what I mean? They're chill. But you got a good bear and a black bear, right? And you got a good bear and you got a bad bear. And it could be a polar bear and it could be a koala bear. It doesn't matter. Right. Whatever you are, whoever you are,
koala
you
bear,
define
not a
the
bear,
bear.
Just so you
I have a gummy
way.
Bear inside me, all right? That's my bear, all right? And so the whole thing about this bear thing is it's like Berenstain Bears and Yogi Bears. You got all sorts. You got Yogi Berra there. You know what I mean, Andy? Little baseball? Anyways, it depends who you feed. We find out at the end of the movie, it's who you feed. Anyways. So it's you got a good bear and a bad bear and a black bear. And so you got this girl now. Her name's Danny, right? Is that right? I make that up?
Danny, yeah, Danny. That's not right.
I'm looking at, I couldn't see her. She's not top billed on the cast. Here she is. Blue Hunt, Danny Moonstar. You got Danny Moonstar, and she's talking about the bear, and then she gets woken up by her dad, who's also a guy I recognize, Adam Beach. He's been in a lot of stuff. Nick, what is he most famous for?
Oh, man. Good question.
Wind Talkers with Nicolas Cage.
That's how I was going to say.
Also, Slipknot in Suicide Squad, the Oscar-winning Suicide Squad.
Oh, you're right.
That's where I recognized him from.
There you go. I remember him from Joe Dirt. When he played the guy that wanted to buy the fireworks. He just wanted to do fireworks.
What a career. What a career for Adam Beach. He wakes Danny up and he's like, we gotta go. And there's like a roaring and there's a monster roaring and there's all this crazy shit happening, people screaming. And so they take off running, and I think she falls at one point, he carries her, maybe he's carrying her, then they fall and then she's running, and they're run, and they just run in the woods, and you hear this thing screaming and roaring back there. And they eventually get to a tree, and he shoves her in the tree, and he's like, you stay in this tree like a Keebler elf. And she's like, you want a cookie, governor? And he's like, all right, cool, I'm gonna go save people. And she's like, please don't save people, stay with me. And he's like, nah, I gotta go fucking save people. And so this motherfucker at a beach, he runs back in like 3 seconds later, like, oh, and he just comes in and he's all fucked up. He's just all sorts of fucked up. You're like, oh my god, this is serious. Everybody's getting killed. Danny, though, here's something getting closer. And so she gets up and she just takes off running. She just takes off running into the woods. You know what I mean? And she hears it, and there's like dust and clouds and snow and shit. And eventually she like trips and falls, and then boom, she's just like out. And she opens her eyes again, and now she's in a hospital, and she's strapped down. And up in a vent is Maisie Williams with yellow eyes. And she's like, whoa. And she's like, what? No, she skitters away. And like Danny goes like, what the fuck? And she's like, what's going on? She gets up. She's like, I'm in a hospital room, and I'm locked in this hospital room. That's fucking weird. And so then, you know, she goes to the door and tries to get out the door. And then there's somebody on the speaker, and it turns out it's Dr. Reyes. And Dr. Reyes is like, listen, Danny, chill out. Chill out, bro. It's not as bad as it looks, all right? Yes, you're in a hospital, but it's not that bad. Can I come in and you won't kill me? She's like, yeah, come on in. She comes on in, and she lays it out for her, right, of like, listen, you're at a special facility. This is for places. We have a benefactor who can tell when you're going to get mutant powers or when people just get their mutant powers. And so we bring them here so that they can learn how to control them. They can, when they manifest, they can learn what to do with them and all that jazz. And Thandie's like, okay, can't I just go home? And she's like, no, they're all dead. They're super, super dead. A tornado killed them. She's like, didn't sound like a tornado. I didn't see a tornado. I'm sorry, Andy Cortez. I'm sorry.
Shout out to Alice Braga, who has not aged a day since I Am Legend, which is like the first time I think I remember seeing her in a movie.
That's where she's from. Yeah.
To me, my touchstone for her is Predators. She was one of the leads in Predators with Adrian Brody, which is a good movie. And everyone should watch it. We should do Predator in review. Stop being.
We should do Alien Predator in review, Tim. Put it on the docket.
Oh, she's also in Suicide Squad, the one coming out.
Oh, shit. Everyone's in spoilers, that. That's crazy. It was supposed to be Rosario Dawson, but she eventually was like, nah, fuck this shit.
Hey, this smells like a terrible film. I don't want to be a part of it.
Other things kind of like that. So the director says, this movie is exactly the way we set out to make it, minus one shot. It was intentional that we didn't shoot it, he says. We've had always planned to have a tag at the end of the movie that introduced the villain for the next movie. We even had an actor cast, Antonio Banderas.
For Mr. Sinister?
No, John Hamm was going to be Mr. Sinister. Josh Boone intended this film to be the first in a trilogy, with the second film to be an alien invasion movie featuring the alien mutant warlock, and then the third and final installment being a supernatural apocalyptic horror movie based on the X-Men comic event Inferno, where demons invade the Earth and magic plays a major role. And at some point there, it was going to then relate back to the Fox X-Men universe, and that would have never happened anyways. So anyways,
give me movies where... John Hamm. I was like, what name did you just mention? I was about to say Josh Brolin. Give me movies where John Hamm is the villain in every movie, because he's just so good as the dick who's kind of charming,
or like, dumb nice guy. Like, I'm fan of him just being like
totally, Kevin. But when I think of him in Baby Driver, I think, man, he also would have been an awesome Homelander in The Boys.
He's just got that
charm, but he's a fucking dick. I'm glad that he's super evil.
I like Anthony Starr.
He's incredible.
Yeah, he's Anthony. Really, really good.
And if you like John Hamm, you should watch that show he did, Mad Men.
I've heard.
Did you ever see him in Wet Hot American Summer? Not the movie, but the show. Yeah, that's my favorite. At the end, he's like, you guys were in on it together? Yeah, but you killed some of our friends. He's like, I'm not gonna. I can get into. I'm not gonna have an answer that's satisfactory. Anyways, back to this much less good movie. So she's like, "Listen, you can have your little black bear necklace back." She's like, "Thank you very much." And she's like, "No problem. Everybody's dead. Everybody's dead. It was a tornado, but we brought you here because you have a power. What's my power? We don't know yet. So we're gonna keep you around here and just wait for that to percolate inside you.
It wasn't a tornado. I heard growling."
Tornadoes and F5 can sound like a big old grizzly bear. I'm surprised you didn't know that, Danny. Come on now with me. Let's go.
Also,
you know what I mean?
It's one of those things where, like, she's like, what's my power? And we're like, well, no, we have to discover that together. I'm like, well, clearly you know what her power is because you put her in this jail, right?
No, they know she's going to have powers eventually
because of Mr. Sinister.
Like, what? Oh, I see. I apologize.
But also, like, what are her powers? Like,
she manifests your greatest fear, right?
In her dreams?
No, because she was awake for a lot of it.
That's the weird thing.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think it's latent. I think it's one of those you learn to control. It's very similar to Smallville.
They didn't say that enough in this one.
If you remember, well, they expect you to have watched Smallville, where Clark, you know, he floated above his bed before he could fly.
Naturally.
And then for weird prerequisites. Josh Boone was just like, listen, all right, you're going to have a great time with this film. Can you just watch all 10 seasons of Smallville first? It's going to lay a good groundwork for powers and how we're playing with them. Anyways. She lets Danny out of the hospital room and takes her to her room, which is just a jail cell. And she's like, you'll chill out here and like you'll get to meet everybody else. And there's a lot of cool hip kids here. It's like the Breakfast Club. If there was just five of you and y'all hated each other forever, and even though you've been trapped in here together, and you should probably work together. All right, bye. And so she leaves and then she goes and hosts, you know, like their little therapy session. And we go around and we got Maisie Williams and we got the woman from the chess show I just watched. And we got the guy from Stranger Things and we got the guy with a popped collar and we're like, cool, this is the cast, everybody. And you're all mutants and you're all here. And they want to do a sharing thing, but they don't all want to share because they're all too cool for school. And she's like, listen, motherfuckers, you have to share or you'll never advance to the next facility kind of shit.
This is probably their first time doing this not their first time doing this sharing thing.
Correct.
In which case it's just them either repeating the story of what happened.
Yeah.
Correct.
And three of them being like, I don't want to tell. And that being
I had the same vibe. I was like, these people have been here for forever, and but they're showing them to us for the first time. Yeah. So we need to hear their backstories. We need to show you know, who are the more silent but ones, who are the characters that don't care to share too much. It just all sucks, man.
Yeah. Yes. Eventually Danny walks in though, and she sits down, and then everybody's rude to her, and then she doesn't share either. And then it's like, all right, cool. You know what? This meeting's adjourned. Why don't you, Queen's Gambit, why don't you walk her around the facility and show her off? And she's like, all right. She doesn't want to. She's like, all right. And then she got a puppet. And so she's like being a bitch. And she's like, this. And she's like, what's that? Oh, I hate her too. Like, oh, man. Oh, wow, fucked up. Man, what's going on? Eventually they walk outside and she's like, dormitories are over there, the shitter's over there, that's where you go get your pills. Now you wash my back, I've hidden this fucking spray can here, right here, I'm gonna leave a message on it. What the fuck is this?
What the fuck is this?
You're my lookout now. And she's like, all right, cool, and spray. And she's like, wait a second, like, there's only five of us and there's cameras everywhere, I don't think I'm gonna be a great lookout, whatever. And she's like, wait, we're outside, where are we? And she's like, I don't know, she always says it's 20 miles the closest. Hold on. I don't know. She always says 20 minutes to the miles to the closest city. Could be lying, though. Who knows? But freedom's right over there if you want freedom.
Were her eyes closed?
Where's the accent?
No, I
can't do a good Russian accent.
No, Tim, she couldn't either. Here's what I'm saying. Greg talking the way he is right now, impersonating Anya Taylor-Joy or whatever, I didn't know she had a Russian accent until the scene later on where she finally confronts the main character and is like, are we gonna fucking fight? And she busts out the sword and I'm sitting and I go, oh, she's Russian. Like, I didn't get that from any of the other scenes that she was in prior to this, because there, it just didn't seem, it's a very Kevin Costner Robin Hood situation where sometimes the accent's there, sometimes it's not. We don't
Andy,
know.
Let me blow your simple little mind, perhaps. Do you know that she is the sister
Kevin Costner?
Of Colossus?
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
He has a Russian accent, so she has to have a Russian accent. Mm-hmm. You got to drive that into the ground.
Mm-hmm. So Danny's like, wait, so the outside and freedoms are there? She's like, yeah. And Danny takes off running. Really awkward run. Really not a great run. She runs and runs and runs and runs. Then she runs into the wall. And then, you know, Colossus' sister's like, ha, 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 ha. We don't know where we are, moron. She gets up. She got this bloody nose. And I know this is saying something, but I think the worst like scene of the movie here, Danny just does, and I'm not an actor, as you all know, I'm terrible at acting. I'm not in a fucking major motion picture right here. Just like, ah! And I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. Yeah.
We laughed hard at that moment.
Yeah. Yeah. And so from there, she's like, I'm going to kill myself. So she runs back to the thing. She climbs up the clock tower.
In the most forced way of like, now I'm going to go kill myself. Like, all right, that's
kids
cool.
Are dramatic. Kids are dramatic. She punches through the clock because it's all boarded up for some reason. And then as she steps out on the edge, Maisie Williams pops up. She's like, oh, it looks like you're going to kill yourself. Might be really bad if you fell from here. She's like, I want to die. She's like, they fucking talk for a little bit. They're friends now all of a sudden. Who the fuck knows? You know what I mean?
Who the fuck cares?
They're going to be like, all right, we're friends now. We're new mutants. We're new friends. You know what I mean? And so... then, because it's all the same. We're in one. This is one of those movies that's hard to recap because you're in the same fucking place with the same fucking people.
Might as well just jump cut to they start making out. It's like, it's just so ridiculously quick, everything. But then some things are just slow. And then Nick earlier said, what's actually happening? It's a very good question. What is happening?
So let's just, if we can, if you don't mind, let's just do the old spoke here. We're just going to spoke off of this
scene
and go to it, because I can't. Let's start talking about Disney's memory serves. She doesn't die, and then she goes to bed. I think there might be something in between it. But then while she goes to bed, the boys are downstairs doing laundry. And this is where we get the hit from the coal miner scene here. Yeah. The pop collar man goes upstairs or leaves. He leaves a cast boy down there who's the coal miner's daughter. He is chilling out. We already heard that thing. Stranger thing. We've already heard that, you know, he worked at a coal mine. Something bad had happened. The dryer starts making noise and he walks over to that and looks in, and then he's inside. It started making noise. He started walking towards it. He walked into the coal mine and everybody's like looking at him and he walks in and it was his dad, and his dad's like, and he's like,
I thought this was kind of a cool scene.
Well, what did it mean? Like, it revealed that somehow he killed his dad.
He did. I mean, he was reliving his greatest fear, which was killing his dad.
When he gets put in the lie detector in their next group encounter upstairs when they think they're off the grid. He'll tell us, right? They're like, yeah, I, you know, my powers went off. And his powers are He vibrates so fast and he can fly. And is that what it is?
Yeah. This scene was so distracting to me. There were so many elements of it that I was like, I couldn't enjoy any bit of it because it was like, why are these miners hitting these bricks? And while he walks by, like, it just, all of it was fucking weird. I'm like, what type of mine is this? Why is there a washing machine?
Why are there bricks?
I
think
it's weird.
I think it was just supposed to be like indicative of him walking from the real world into this, like, into his brain where he's imagining this thing happening. I just thought the whole thing was kind of like, I don't know, in his head, not necessarily him going back to that moment of when it happened.
You know, I thought it was a merging of the school and the actual.
I think that's the first hint of it. Yeah.
Yeah. That, I feel like that's exactly what it was meant to be, but it, like, I felt like it was confusing because I think it
should have the same thing. She's like,
it
why
should have transitioned. Like, it didn't. It stayed brick the entire time, right? As he went into it. And then it just, like, the dad turns around and is like, what did you do, son? And it's like, okay, we get it. But also, like, what did he actually do? Did he just go cannonball in there?
He lost control.
I liked some of these scenes. I wish they had done, obviously, a little bit better. But I liked these elements of the movie, how they had to discover she was the one that helped them sort of work through these emotional traumas. And some of it kind of remind me, stick with me, because you guys probably haven't seen this. Greg probably has. Remember the Dream Warriors? Nightmare on Elm Street 3, I think it was?
Where they were stuck
in the asylum and they had to, like, manifest themselves in their own brains into, like, being these superhumans. It had those vibes for me, so I was like, okay, these elements are kind of working for me a little bit. I just wish the A plot was a little bit more interesting, and again I wish that there was, like, more people other than Alice Braga who was there to, like, oppress these kids, because to me it just didn't feel like there were any stakes there.
So that, now we've got it set up, you have the inkling that she's done this, that's her power or whatever, somehow we don't know what it is exactly, even though you could probably guess that's what it is. From there, she wakes up, and it's another day at the asylum now, and this is the showering scene you were talking about, right, Tim? Where it's just her and Maisie Williams just chilling out, staring at each other's nudie bodies, and I think she asks about the W on her
back.
Where it's on her, shoulder. Yeah, on her back shoulder, the one that comes up later. She's like, yeah, like, you know, the fucking priest that, yeah. Well, I guess that's coming up when they get the lie detector. We should probably just jump to the lie detector, because what happens is, this happens in the shower. Then we get the scene of them in the rec room. I forget what they're watching. They're watching something.
Buffy.
Yeah.
A lot of Buffy in this.
Yeah.
And then Queen's Gambit gets all up in Danny's face and they start fighting or whatever. And then she goes to, like, literally kill her. And then that's when Dr. Reyes comes in and puts up a barrier of, like, what the fuck? Don't kill each other, you clowns. You know what I mean?
That's a cool power, by the way, the force field stuff. The
barrier, especially with the use of, like, sucking the air out that she uses later.
Yeah, I wouldn't have to get car insurance. Think about that.
I mean, you still have to react though. So, like, if the car comes from behind, you don't see it.
I wouldn't have to wear a mask outside.
But then you can't.
I understand
why
you would think that, Andy, that you wouldn't need car insurance. But thankfully, our sponsor Gabby makes it so easy. I don't care.
Wait, because you need an airflow still. Do you think you can make it a filter so it blocks, you know, certain particles?
I could put a shield around my lungs so I don't have to breathe.
Put a shield on the planet.
Then you suffocate.
They have the fight. Reyes takes away Danny, and this is the first blood test I think she does on her, right? Which then she sends it off to the fucking computer people, and the computer people come back like, she's too powerful, killer. I'm way ahead, but
you can mix it all together.
From here, yeah, I know.
Also,
right?
she sends them to solitary confinement, which I thought...
Very similar
to just your room.
But it's not. They don't have their stuff in there. That's what I thought, too. But it is just a bed, probably a shitter.
So here's my thing that Kevin, to me, nailed it, where it's just like, yeah, this is very similar to their rooms. The only difference is they don't have their stuff. But it's solitary confinement, but you can very clearly hear the person next to you.
Yeah.
So it's a little less solitary. Yeah.
Also, well,
I mean,
there's
you know, it's a school.
Yeah.
It's not, though.
That's exactly how Catholic school was. If you didn't get a good grade, they
it was
in
a solemn, right?
Right. So this is where now the cool kids, of which when there's five of you, it doesn't really count. They start to go somewhere, and Danny's like, "Where are you going?" And like, "You can't come, dweeb." And they're like, "All right, come on up, dweeb." And they are going up to the attic where, yeah, nobody is up there, so they're all fucking around. I think this is where Pop Collar guy is in the wheelchair and is like, makes the reference to what they're doing here. And he's like, the next school is, you know, fucking Xavier school, you know, go be an X-Man or whatever. Who would want to be an X-Man? Even if it's not, I just did it. So there you go. But more importantly, they eventually find a lie detector here. And they're like, let's set up this lie detector, which takes so much calibration and stuff, but we'll do one question each. So y'all get into this fucking contraption.
I'd be like, guys, this is not my idea of a good time. Having just gone through 3 days of this shit downstairs, how about we do some drugs or something fun like that? Let's get hammered and explore each other's bodies.
They just had their montage of them semi-dancing with each other and, like, you know, just causing general mayhem because we need this scene because it's an X-Men movie and we need to see that this group of kids is bonding together.
Also, she's like, I drugged
the doctor. That's not here yet. That's later on. They do that later on to have free run of the asylum, and that's when things really fall apart.
I'd be like, I'd do that every day. Why don't we drug her and then
drug her tea,
tie her up, and then be like, how the fuck do we get out of here? How about
that? I guess the thing is, most of them don't want, like, I don't think any of them wanted to leave, right?
Because the Brazilian guy for sure doesn't want to, and I think Kentucky didn't want to either. But I got the feeling that Ileana kind of wanted to get the fuck out of there.
Well, I mean, always put she's myself so fresh, in you know, she hasn't given up yet.
She has her own universe to go to.
That's true.
I can't help but put myself in these character situations where Danny's in her room and, you know, eventually they go do sneak off to this sort of lie detector area in the attic where they think no cameras are, but of course there are cameras. And Danny's trying to go over there, and then, you know, Anya Taylor-Joy's like, no, she's a fucking bitch or whatever. And then they're like, no, she's not. Get over here. Like, come hang out with us, is what Kentucky guy says. And then
I don't want your
like,
life.
If I'm Danny, I'm just like, nah, I don't want to go. Like, this girl's a bitch, dude.
There's five of you. You can't be picky.
Exactly. I'm not trying to hang out with y'all right now. Clearly, she doesn't like me. Yeah, go ahead, Nick Scarpino. Kind of funny.
So she can go to this other world, right? She has the ability to do what, like, Nightcrawler can do, right? Which is that she can go from, like, world to world and all these things.
Yeah, but it's like a whole universe. She goes to a different universe.
Not just go through the fucking shield? How can she not go through the shield?
It just doesn't make any sense.
That's the whole thing. The whole time I was like, you can see the other side of the shield. Just go. Just zap to the other side of the fucking shield.
It seems
forget
like
everything you fucking know.
From
dude.
The little Googling,
it clearly.
From the little Googling I did, seems like she's the Sorcerer Supreme of that world. So that's how come she has magic powers. So that's cool.
That's cool. I guess. That's pretty cool. And you know what, Kevin? I'll stop asking questions now. Greg, please take it away.
So we're up there giving everybody a lie detector, and this is where it all starts kind of coming undone, right, of whose powers are what, right? So Pop Collar guy's like, how many chicks you fucked? zero. It turns out that I get too hot, I burn people alive. It's what I did to my girlfriend. Like, Kentucky gets over there, like, you know, what's your favorite color? He's like, I killed everybody in the fucking mind. Oh, Jesus. That's getting intense. You know what I mean? They put Queen's Gambit down, and she's like, I've killed like 13 people or whatever. And the line doesn't move. And they're all like, I think Maisie Williams, we'll just put it here, says that, yeah, you know, she's a werewolf fan. When she turned in front of the dude, maybe this isn't therapy, but again, who cares? When she turned in front of the father, like, he fucking attacked her and beat her nearly to death.
Cardinal.
And branded her or whatever. Cool. Sorry. Fucking.
Well,
I know the fucking
you'd
the Archbishop Pope is here to fucking correct me on it. You know what I mean? In the name of the Father, the Son. Shut your fucking face, Ken. You know what I mean? And so yeah, they lay it all out, whatever his thing is, and then it's the only place you're not looked after. And then boom, they come out, and fucking Dr. Reyes is watching. So then the next day in class is when she's like, listen, you motherfuckers, let's talk about deception or whatever the fuck she says. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can't fucking lie to me or you'll never get to the next school. And then this is like, who says I want to go there? And that's when Billy Bob steps up. And he's like, well, I don't want to go there. And she's like, listen, motherfucker, you think they forgot about you killing everybody you ever fucking knew or loved in your small hick town? You're here till I say you're not here. And he's like, oh no, fuck, I'm here till they say I'm not here.
I don't want you.
Then he goes over and chains himself to a block and starts smashing himself on the ground. Which I thought was very weird.
Was that here or later?
That was way earlier.
I'm just saying, like, what a weird thing. Like, I don't know. I think he likes punishing himself. And it's like, all right, he's getting his guilt out.
I think from here we're in, not to end game, but pretty damn close, where they drug the doctor. And now they have free run of the asylum.
When did they actually drug the doctor? Because I guess
it doesn't happen on camera. It happens off camera. Yeah.
Got it.
And that's why we can do whatever the fuck we want. Because again, there's one person running this whole thing. So as Tim was talking about earlier, it's another montage here of them. Maybe here's the wheelchair thing where he says they're X-Men. Anyways, but they're playing with the wheelchair. They're running around being stupid. Magic is like, oh, look, I'm dressed like the doctor. And like, it's a bunch of lame kids in a lame place doing lame things. So. Arya and Danny, they go outside, they lay under the stars, they end up making out. Good for them. I'm glad they found love. Inside, this is where Pop Collar is like, walking back to his room, right, and looks in and sees Magic there in the pool. And he comes in and says, you want some company? He's like, oh, my God, only if you turn off the lights. He's like, hell yeah. And so he takes it off, and goddamn, is this guy in shape. Well, this guy, you know what I mean?
Was fucking his, in shape.
Was his worst fear getting, like, pools. Tricked?
Pools.
Because
no, burning another person alive, being reminded of his the girlfriend he killed.
But it's just weird that he had this, like, because why wasn't it just the girlfriend? Why did he have the illusion of banging?
I had that
illusion of happiness again. The illusion of happiness that he could be happy again.
I just feel like this kind of like so undefined. Buffy,
you know what? I'm gonna put more required viewing on if you want to understand this movie.
Yeah,
all definitely. 10 seasons of Smallville, and then Buffy up into the season where Angel goes back to being bad. Because remember, Angel had a curse on him that if he fell in love or if he was ever truly happy again, he would go back to being a bad vampire. Yes, Andy Cortez.
Is that the same Angel? No, that's Dark Angel. Never mind.
No, that's Jessica Alba, Dark Angel. Jessica another good Alba, show. Batman. You know, she married her co-star on that.
X-Men The Last Stand?
No. Nick, what's your question?
I just wanted you guys to know, I just Googled Henry Zaga shirtless, and then Channing Tatum came up. So now I'm just looking at a picture of Channing Tatum shirtless on my computer.
So during the scene, Gia pointed out like that in the 10 millionth time of this movie, that there is a line said that no human being would ever say, where Anya Taylor-Joy is like,
or whatever, is beckoning.
is beckoning him, is like, hey, like, come get me in the pool. And she like starts going off, and he takes his shirt off, and he goes, hey, where are you going?
It's like,
you're in a pool, like, where the fuck else is she gonna go?
Yeah, but they were gonna get their bang on, man.
And yeah, just, this, you know? it's these moments where it becomes a stupid I Know What You Did Last Summer type movie. Where everybody just loses all sense of logic and reason, and everybody's brains just fucking collapse in on themselves, and nobody has like any sort of intelligence anymore. But yeah, that line really stood out to me too, Tim. Hey, where are you going? Like, what do you mean? It's so stupid.
So he gets in the pool like we're talking about. They start making out a bit. He gets too hot and steps away, and she's like, "But you can't hurt me." And that's when he turns
that's
around.
The moment we're like, "Why?" Because she was a dream.
What?
It was all a dream.
Why did she say you can't hurt me? Is magic fireproof? No, it was the dream. Well, no.
Girl, yeah, right? Exactly. This is Nightmare Girl.
That was clarifying.
Is magic fireproof?
Yeah, that's true. We don't know. We know she
I
might
think
be
her
fireproof.
Arm is. You know what
that's
I mean?
Superman.
I mean, doesn't she get the armor over her full body in like the future?
They couldn't afford that budget, so like if she
really
learns her powers,
have.
It's just her arm. It's just her
arm. It looked
also,
cool,
she's got
though.
Again, she's got so much going on. She has her own dream world. She's got her cool armor. She's got her talking parrot that was a freaking puppet, but now we'll come back. What a fucking weird character. Why would they
Anyways, though, he turns around, and then she comes up all burned, and she rubs his back, and he turns around, and it's his burned-ass girlfriend, and she pins him down in the corner, and he's like, and again, I understand that they're learning their powers, maybe, and I understand that they're kids, so okay, but like, again, if you give Greg Miller flame-on powers.
Yeah.
And I we've talked about this before. I'm inviting anybody on the street, anybody who wants to come at me to come at me. I'm going to kick off my shoes and I'm going to fight.
You're going to be naked afterward. But I
remember,
think that's
like
a
imagine,
for you.
Like I encourage my greatest enemies, any of my greatest enemies right now to come after me when I can turn into the Human Torch. You know what I mean? Yeah, I wouldn't fall them. Oh, let's fucking go. I've been looking for a reason to use these today. You know what I mean? And really, but he starts screaming instead of turning into the Human Torch. He's all yelling. And so that everybody starts panicking, you know, outside. Arya and Danny, by the way, Arya's eyes turned into her wolf eyes when she got excited, and it was cute. They run back inside. The doctor wakes up from her drug-induced nap. She runs outside. Hillbilly Kentucky runs in there. They run, and he's just on fire, and he's like screaming. And she just grabs a fucking pool brush and pokes him into the water.
It was so bad.
Again,
so
where
bad.
It's like, again, I have superpowers. I'm getting beaten by a fucking pool brush.
She has force field abilities. Yeah. She could have used a force field to push him.
Like,
you know?
That was like a legitimate waste of a pool brush because you know that thing got singed now. Yeah, it was useless.
Totally.
Like, push his ass back with your
Kevin,
so
too much budget. Too much
he
budget.
He falls in. He comes up. Queen's Gambit runs in. She's clothed. So that wasn't her. This is our thing. It's all the dream thing. He gets dressed because he was naked. He runs out and he tries to leave. And this is what I was talking about. They run to the door And she's like, I blocked the doors or whatever. And they're like, open the fucking door. She's like, I'm not going to open the door. And it's like, they're all like, there's a fucking monster in here with us, clearly, or something's going on. I'm like, let us out. And this is the thing where they start like doing the standoff threat. And like, it is all these superpower mutants being threatened by just a normal woman. Again, who has this barrier power, I understand. But I really feel like if I'm Queen's Gambit, like just like, I'm calmly talking as my hand turns into fucking metal and I shoot it through your chest. And I don't know if you can do that or not or whatever. You killed 13 people already. But again, they're just eventually... This is the scene where they argue. And then the doctor throws Queen's Gambit into her room or solitary or whatever.
It's so like, it's a like hard
there's
cut.
A walk. There's a walk.
It's, dude, this is the first time that they're like confronting her. And it's like, oh, they're like, fuck this. We're not standing for your shit. Hard cut of Anya Taylor-Joy. Ah! Like in solitary. Like, what the fuck happened? Like, there must be something missing there.
She put her in a bubble, so. Made her passed out, threw in the solitary.
Sure. Okay.
Or she just asked her to go to solitary like she did last time. You're going to solitary. I don't want to. Well, all right. I'll go.
From there, Dr. Reyes takes Danny to her office to put her under some drugs to really get to the core of her mutant abilities or whatever, right? And so this is where she's like, oh, I see the fucking bears. There's bears everywhere, and big old bears are coming to get everybody. And this is making her powers kind of go all wonky wonk out there. And this is where, Maisie Williams is showering. And the Cardinal, Kevin, Jesus, walks in. His face is all fucking torn up because she killed him. And she's like, you're not real. And he's like, the fuck I'm not. And so he fucking brands her. And she's like screaming at that or whatever. And this is where it all comes apart. This is where everybody's like, oh, you know, it's time to fucking go.
It's real. It's real.
It's real. This is really happening, right? Yeah. I feel like I'm, what? We don't, this isn't.
I feel like maybe that happened before.
Yeah, you're.
I don't know.
Lay it on me.
I was saying you're mixing things up where the her getting branded happens before she gets the thing that tells her to kill her.
Before the doctor, she gets the thing to tell her. She hasn't gotten that yet. She hasn't gotten that yet.
I thought
we said that a long time ago when we were fucking around. But right now, she's just doing the thing with Danny when she's under.
So little,
and that's when it all starts bleeding out. And that's when like, so little does happen. She gets rebranded. Arya gets rebranded, and then. Queen's Gambit sees the smiley face on the wall. This is like when it all starts. This is when we start tumbling down the hill, right? Where sure. All the things are real or whatever. But like, Danny wakes up again. That's what I can't recall right now. Danny wakes
Arya
up from
comes
this.
To save her, right?
Isn't no, this the dog runs away. So Arya gets branded in the bathroom. Shower. Yeah, and then she runs out and they like hear her scream. So they all come to get her. And then the dog just runs around, collapses. Turns into Arya and we see her neck branded and we're like, oh fuck, it's real. Yeah. They can actually get hurt.
Okay.
Let's not forget that for later.
And then isn't that when they take Danny in and that's when they go about to do the killer, essentially?
Yeah, I feel like we're missing just character exposition in the middle.
I think
there.
That's
because doesn't she have a moment where Danny meets up with Queen's Gambit and they have like, oh, that's it. That's it. Danny brings Queen Gambit her puppet and they sit down and they have a conversation and it's like they lay it out of like when I was a kid I was there and these people they'd smile when I'd cry, that fucking thing. That's where we set that part up. Now we're back on track. From there, yes, Dr. Reyes has the kill order from Mr. Sinister that she, you know, Danny's too powerful. She brings Danny in and gives her this long speech about how she's going to kill her. Like, you know, as soon as she starts in, of like, I used to be a vet, then we used to put people down. I'm like, oh, fuck. Oh, Danny, anytime you want to fight, that'd be great right here. Yeah, honestly, right now, this is not going your way.
Didn't see it coming, honestly.
I'll back a little bit.
They really shocked me with her being a villain.
When all that happens, that's when smiley face men start coming after Queen's Gambit again. And again, rather than say, oh, I have a fucking awesome metal arm that can cut through anything, she just panics and screams and tries to run around like a kid. Yeah.
She's a kid. She gets scared.
Yeah, but at one point, I mean, again, Kevin, if you had heat vision, you'd be using it every fucking chance you had.
Oh, for sure, dude. I'd be.
You know what I mean? You'd be begging for somebody to come fuck with you and see something.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm asking questions in this movie and like, forget everything you know. What the fuck's up with the smiley men?
That was what she was like, she was talking about, right?
That's all. That's right. You're right.
What
you're,
are they?
Yes.
Are they
exactly.
mutants?
No.
Is there only one of them? Is it real?
I took that as sort they're of like real. They were past abusers who, like, when she was growing up, were like, there's just men
it's
that
Colossus.
Abused her. Like, she was some sort of, like, I don't know, like a sex trade or something like that.
Got it.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought. I thought it was just a sort of a manifestation of her, like, past abuse.
I'll tell you what, though, man.
But I
these Smiley Man, these Smiley Man had drip, dude. They fucking like dressed really well.
They had drip.
They had drip, dude. They looked dope.
I thought they looked really lame. I thought they were like supposed to be like the, you know, the stereotypical Russian dude in the corner of a bar, the pop collar.
It was just a funny juxtaposition to like the creepy, like, because like when I think of immediately, I thought, oh, this got to be Doug Jones, right?
Yeah, you have to, right? The guy from Discovery.
This has got to be Doug Jones acting as a Smiling Man, tall, skinny, slender, or whatever. It's got
to
be him.
It had to be.
But then
do you
I saw
know
the face
who the voice was.
No, I didn't know it talked.
Marilyn Manson.
What the fuck?
Yeah. That's weird. I don't like that.
I don't think
anyway. I don't remember it talking. I just remember it. I remember being creeped out by it for a split second, and then it started doing like the raptor kind of roaring, looking like Beetlejuice, something out of Beetlejuice. And I was like, I would have rather than gone the Hideo Kojima route horror style thing where it's like twitching and looking all creepy and shit. Mm. It opening its mouth and like becoming a fucking pterodactyl looking thing. I was like, I lost all fear.
So. Yeah, Danny's manifesting all this shit. Those things are... And again, to my point earlier, like, shout out to Pop Collar Guy, because when he gets spooked by the Smiley Man down there doing dishes, he immediately turns around and uses his fire abilities.
Yeah.
So again, these people know what they're up to. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Maisie Williams drops out of her air vent and saves Danny from being killed. But again, she drops in the lamest way possible, drops on top of the doctor, just goes, yeah. And the doctor just grabs a scalpel and stabs in a leg. Like, the doctor just had her face scraped off. Maisie gets stabbed once and it's over. Okay, whatever.
Scalpels she falls are real down. Sharp, though.
I know. I think Maisie's claws are, too, though, but I digress. Doctor runs away. Maisie gets Danny out of the thing. This is where we all start coming together, right? Danny's knocked out, but Maisie's carrying her. Then there was a funny scene where, again, these smiley people are just chasing fucking Queen's Gambit, and she's not using her sword, but she's with Hillbilly Boy. And they have that moment of, like, at least we're in this together. And she's like, all right. And she fucking disappears. And he's like,
And he's like, oh, God dang it.
He does some vibrations, too, and nothing really happened.
And then Anna Paquin popped up, and she was like, Babby.
And then as it, you know, things start to look dark, Queen's Gambit comes back, and she comes out of her portal, and she finally is like, I have a fucking sword, right? Slashes everybody to bits. The whole team unites to figure out what the fuck is going on and where they're going. They go to the doctor's office, who's bleeding somewhere else, and they find all the paperwork on them, and they're like, oh yeah, see, like they're building an army. We're not here to be rehabilitated. We're here to be turned into killers. We're not here to become the X-Men. We're here to kill the X-Men. They don't say that, but they should.
That'd be a cool line, Greg. You should write the next movie. New Mutants. Problem. Back to the asylum.
Old Mutants.
Young adult mutants.
They finally put it together. Of like, man, when none of the doors work, they all have fucking barriers on them. Man, there's barriers over this thing. I wonder how we could stop the... Oh, what if we kill the person who made all the fucking barriers that we could have killed multiple times throughout this movie since we've fucking been here? Let's kill the bitch.
What a terrible line that was.
This is why high schoolers will never take over the world, because they're stupid.
Stupid. They go to find her. They go to, like, they follow, like, a blood trail. She's over there. She's like, and she comes out. She's all fucked up and, like...
This is my favorite part of the
PA
movie.
System.
It actor like she, Arya Stark starts, she's like, I can smell her. Let's go this way. Like, how can, and then someone goes, how can you smell her? And she's like, I'm a dog. Like, yeah, I'm a dog, right?
Don't explain this part.
Fuck you. And but, so they go into the only other place we've seen already, which is like this, with the place where we started her whole, Danny's whole journey. And they walk in and she goes, she's in here somewhere. And then they take one step to the left and see her.
No, but like, you know, the PA thing is this weird kind of thing that makes you seem, oh, like this doctor's going to get out of here safely. She's going to get, like, she's on the PA and she's talking to everybody and this and that. And you're like, oh shit, like, what's she planning? And then, like, you just see, like, blood and, like, a foot behind a curtain. And it's like, oh, she's right,
dying.
So,
yeah. Yeah. She's about to die.
So. She talks to them and they let her talk, and then she does force field bubbles around all of them, and then they're talking about how you fucking suck and all that shit, and she's like, I'm gonna suck all the fucking air out of you guys. Damn, she was talking about earlier, she's like sucking, which is weird because I thought if you when you watch this, right, Hillbilly Guy, his cast is stuck through one of the bubbles.
Yeah, so she was only,
like, oh, he's gonna vibrate it and break through his bubble and then fuck her life up.
That was the thing there. His arm went slightly too high. They had planned all the bubbles to be a certain height, and they were like, it's fine. He'll just be halfway through.
But no internet show is gonna pick us apart for this decision.
I think what happened is that she was only sucking the air out of
Danny's
blue hunts. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I think that's right.
You gotta assume that they were like, we gotta make this bubble bigger. And like, yeah, but do you think this movie is going to make enough money to justify that decision? Yeah.
And so Danny goes to sleep, you're right, because she has no oxygen. Everybody else is just getting pushed down, I guess. And that's all the bear needs to come out. And like, there's boom, 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 and like perimeter breach and all that shit. And then this fucking giant CG bear with red eyes just like fucking fucks up the doctor and throws her around. Just eats her. Bites her up in the air and fucking throws her around like this. Like, oh shit, fuck, man. This is fucked up shit, right?
They were like, this guy, because it bites her and then it kills her. Like, okay, we get it. Yeah. And then it puts her back down and then throws her back up in the air. And someone was like, those are resources we could have used for the bubble scene, guys.
I mean, it didn't look good, though. It looked very much like...
Well, the giant bear just... Yeah, it sort of had the same vibe, and stick with me, guys, because this is a callback to another series that Andy's not on, so Andy, I apologize if I scare you, but it reminded me of the wolf, werewolf from the last Annabelle movie, where you're like, this
Annabelle
is
so comes
goosebumps.
Home.
It's too cartoony.
Oh, Kevin, not on there either? You're everything we do. You know what I mean? You're the backbone of content.
Except for I'm not on that show.
But again, it feels like, well, most of the shows you're not on camera, but you're always a part of. You know what I mean? You're the background.
Oh, we always feel your presence. Part of that one,
you know.
Can always.
We don't know. So Barrett does that? I didn't even know that. I don't know who fucking directs that show. I couldn't.
Great. We have a whole life when you're not on shows. All of us. We band.
I'm on that show with you. Okay. Anyway, so now the bear's out. Danny becomes the MacGuffin. They're carrying her. I said dry ass, but sleeping ass is what I mean around. She goes to her own purgatory where she meets up with her dad, right? And they talk for a little bit or some shit. Meanwhile, everybody's fighting the bear out there. They're all passing Danny off. You get maybe the one thing that I think would have been cool if it had been handled if this movie was good at all. But I really do like when Magic's like, how are you going to beat him? He's magic. She's like, so am I. Or whatever. I'm Magic 2
what
or whatever.
What movie is this? Like, that was a moment from a different X-Men movie.
It was like, man, like, you were just running around terrified. Tim was so excited that moment. Dudes. Like, you know what I mean? Now you're going to go fight this fucking thing. And this is where her stuffed animal becomes Spyro and his 3D and his fucking shit up to. So she goes out and fucks with this bear for a while. That's cool.
Yeah, it totally becomes a different movie. I definitely agree with you, Tim, where... You know, she goes out there and then a homeboy who turns on fire is like, I want to marry her one day. It's like, dude, this sucks.
It's crazy that after everything that's happened, like this movie is as bad as it was and that it still came out. Like at some point, like pay whoever you need to
pull the
to
plug,
not
bro.
Release this. Yeah. Like surely like the director didn't want this to come out, right?
Josh Boone?
You don't think Josh sure he thinks he did a good job?
I bet Josh Boone finished this and he's like, this is a boondoggle.
Thanks for watching In Review, everybody.
I don't know. We'll see you next week. Anyways.
Tim, you read that quote where he was like, this movie is exactly what we intended it to be, right? Like, mm-hmm. that's not, I mean, I guess.
I mean, but like, you have to say that, right? Like, you can't go there.
Generally.
Think about when you're. No, Josh Trank, unless you're Josh Trank, right? It. Where he said that, and that, like, Trank. He got taken off. What he was going to do a big movie after that. Oh, Star Wars. And then he wasn't going to do it. You know? If you tell me shit about the movies you're doing.
For a while, the old vibration hillbilly boy knocks a tooth out, then he gets fucked up. Magic eventually, like, breaks her knee or some shit. I don't know what fucking happened. Maisie Williams, I assume, turns into a werewolf. I don't remember that, but I would imagine she does and bites him or some shit. I don't fucking know. But eventually, Danny wakes up. She's like, oh, fuck, I'm awake. Winky, winky. And she walks over there and does like the whole, like, fucking, I'm in control of you.
Calm down. It's okay.
Yeah. And the bear's like, oh, fucking, I guess I'll lay down and calm down, man. And so the bear lays down and calms down.
Gives the bear a Coca-Cola and he's like,
Turns into a polar bear and walks off. Yeah.
So then it's like morning and they're all like, we survived and everything's dead. And somebody's like, wait a second. And they fucking throw something and it just keeps going. And like, I guess we can finally go home or we can leave and just get out of here.
Was it the miner throwing the coal?
Yeah.
Oh, was it? I did not pay close enough.
Symbolism.
At this point, I had turned off. At this point, I was like, just fucking finish so I can play video games.
And then they walk off into the sunset.
Two bears.
And then they walk off as they're walking off.
It depends on which you feed.
As they're walking off, Hillbilly Boy is like, I still got a warrant for my arrest. I killed him.
And Sunspot says, we all do. We all do.
Credit.
Oh, God, yeah.
Seven syllables in the middle. You'll need five for the first and last line.
Five for the first
and last line. If you're not poetic, don't need to fret it. Haiku's
five for the first and last line.
Don't need to rhyme.
Haiku. Man, what are you doing?
Don't need to rhyme.
I'm adding some extra flair, bro.
He's doing that thing where he wants to add a little bit on there for you.
I'm just throwing a little bit.
You got to keep in mind
just the same line.
You got to keep in mind that when you're adding in, Nick, it's about a second and a half behind.
No, I was thinking that.
I think it worked really well.
It wasn't until Kevin decided to jump on all of it.
I thought it'd be fun.
It became
all right. So I did what you did, and that's when someone went too far. When I copied what your stupid joke.
There's a fine line between art and just throwing paint at a canvas, Greg. And these kids don't understand.
Lord. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny to write your review in haiku form, just like Andrew Feisner did. Graveyard sex, bad luck. Roberto just wants some fuck, sun up, or shut up. There you go.
Great job, Andrew.
I like calling it some fuck. We don't do that.
That's gross.
Enough.
That sounds
I
really
could go for some fuck right now. Yeah.
Andy, this reminds me, like, we don't say some fuck enough, and you know what I don't say enough? Sick titties. You introduced that to my life, and I enjoyed it quite a bit. Ignacio Rojas brings this movie has some interesting concepts, but fails to execute. It's very fair. You are correct, Ignacio.
Didn't even send me like a haiku. It just seemed like a sentence that equaled the same amount of.
Mm-hmm. That's how he does things. That's how he does things. And that was it.
Efficient.
Yeah. Good job, everybody. Thank you.
Let's do a little bit of that Ragu Bagu, Greg Miller.
Is this the one that has like Star Wars people?
Yeah, this is the one with like 30 or 40 names. So well.
Ragu.
Looking
forward to this one bag.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Rad Guys Talk Bad Guys Volume 1. The podcast with a podcast that started it all. Let me blow off the list. I'm one of your hosts, Greg, alongside Nick, Andy, Tim, and Kevin. We have no time to waste. This is where we rank all the villains of the In Review universe. When it was just pretty much comic book people. Mm-hmm. So currently we will be ranking the 36th Ragu Baga, the Rad guy that the bad guys will talk about. Currently the list stands at this. Number one, Thanos from Infinity War. Number two, the Vulture. Number three, MBJ from BP. Number four, Bacon Guy from Civil War. Number five, Thanos from Endgame. Number six, Loki and Avengers. Number seven, Hell/Grandmaster Thor Rag. Number eight, Ego Guardians 2. Number nine, Mysterious Far From Home. if this is your first one in a long time, remember it. Whatever the autocorrect puts it to is what we leave it at. So number nine, Mysterious Far From Home. Number 10, Baconator First Class. Number 11, Pierce Logan X24. Number 12, Stryker. No movie label. Number 13, Hydra Captain America Wii. Number 14, Ultron. Number 15, Cree Jude Ladd. Number 16, Francis Angel Deadpool. Number 17, Red Skull. Number 18, Rockwell/Mickey. Number 19, The Dink Sentinels. Number 20, Magneto Brotherhood. Number 21, Mask/Dormammu. Number 22, The Vision from Solo. Number 23, Mandarin/Aldrich. Number 24, Obadiah. Number 25, Loki from Thor. Number 26, Magneto/Phoenix X3. Number 27, that lady from Ghost.
I was Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Number 28, Cross and Ant-Man. Number 29, Rodan, Guardians. Number 30, Doesn't Matter, Deadpool 2. Number 31, Apocalypse. Number 32, Abomination. Number 33, These Ducks from Wolverine. Number 34, These Fucks from Thor 2. Number 35, Jessica Chastain/Zelda Mummies.
What was 18?
I really want to point out.
Was Rockwell/Mickey.
What was 19?
I really want to point out that one of them was Vision.
Vision from
the
Solo.
Movie Solo. Star Wars movie Solo.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, Reyes has to go really, really low.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like the middle of this is all fucked up. like the 18 okay. or 19 to.
I'm sorry, Greg. Can you read the list again?
No problem.
Greg,
number one, Thanos.
No. Greg, can you read me? Can you read me, Greg? Read me 25 through 30, please.
25 through 30 go Loki and Thor, Magneto and Phoenix in X3, that lady from Ghost, Cross and Ant-Man, Ronan and Guardians, and then 30, doesn't matter, Deadpool 2.
Damn, I mean, that's crazy that we put Cross. Yeah, I hated Cross from Ant-Man above. Oh, it's crazy that we put him above Ronan from Guardians because I like Lee Pace a lot more than that Cross guy. And that's probably one I fought you on. I would put her.
Who is the bad guy? Is it just the Dr. Reyes? Dr. Reyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
You can make a case for Danny's subconscious, I guess.
I don't want to. You know.
No.
I don't know. Let's put her above.
I like second to last. Yeah.
Yeah. Below these books from Thor 2, above Jessica Chastain and her Zelda mummies.
Yes.
There it is.
What movie is that?
That's the Dark Phoenix.
Oh, Jesus, that's Aliens? Right. Oh, my God.
Dark Phoenix.
I forgot about that movie.
Yeah.
Again. What's funny, Chad, is that, you know, I made the rankings leading up to this, and then Tim said, you forgot about Dark Phoenix. I was like, shit, you're right, I did, because we never did a final ranking, because the show ends, and that's it. The ranking never gets made. And I just forgot about it again a little while ago. Wild.
And now we're back. Kev, can you bring up those rankings?
It's already
currently up. Here we go. Number one, Logan. Number two, Days of Future Past. Number three, Deadpool 2. Number four, Deadpool. Number five, The Wolverine. Number six, First Class. Number seven, X2. Number eight, Dark Phoenix. Number nine, Apocalypse. Number 10, The Last Stand. Number 11, X-Men. Number 12, X-Men Origins Wolverine. Where do we put the New Mutants?
Number 12.
Like, second to last, yeah. Number 12. What, above really? Origins.
That was going to be my question. Yeah. Is it worse or better than Origins is really the question.
I think Andy nailed it where, like, Origins is also a terrible movie, but Hugh Jackman's doing stuff, and Hugh Jackman's fun to watch. Again, I loved Queen's Gambit. I loved Maisie Williams in Game of Thrones, but they can't help this movie.
The thing that I sort of differentiate this movie between Origins and Wolverine is that I don't think this movie has anything egregiously terrible that makes you go, I know at the end of this review I said, oh, this fucking sucks, but, like, through Origins, I felt that way the whole time. Where it was just constant dumb moment after dumb decision after dumb written line after dumb acted moment. Like, it was just bad shit all the way through, making one of the worst movies I've ever seen. And I didn't ever feel like, wow, this movie is an absolute fucking train wreck. I just thought it was boring.
I cannot believe Dark Phoenix is as high as
I was about to say that.
Dark Phoenix sucks.
I need people to go back and watch the review because I swear I had Apocalypse over Dark Phoenix and I was at footage.
Me and you were the only ones saying Dark Phoenix was low. These three chuckleheads put Dark Phoenix at number 8, which to me, Dark Phoenix, like the ones underneath it, they all fucking suck, but at least they have some moments I like. Dark Phoenix had absolutely nothing. New Mutants is better than Dark Phoenix.
Yeah, that's what I was saying too.
When you fuckers put X-Men at number 11.
X-Men sucks.
Yeah, it did not age well.
Which one's Last Stand? Is that a time traveling one?
That's three.
No, that number three.
Last Stand is three. Yeah,
X3 fucking sucks. It's better than X3. It's better than Apocalypse. It's better than
Tim. I'm totally with you. I would put it at number 8.
I think our list is good. Let's put it at 12 and go home.
All right.
Time to vote. Who thinks it's better than Origins Wolverine? Raise your hand. Everyone raises their hand. Who thinks it's better than X-Men? Raise your hand. Just me and Kevin. So it is now number 12. The list goes number one, Logan. Number two, Days of Future Past. Number three, Deadpool 2. Number four, Deadpool. Number five, The Wolverine. Number six, First Class. Number seven, X2. Number eight, Dark Phoenix. Number nine, Apocalypse. Number 10, The Last Stand. Number 11, X-Men. Number 12, The New Mutants. And number 13, X-Men Origins Wolverine. God, it's crazy. You know, we normally talk about tiers when it comes to these movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. This one's got eight.
This I don't know no, that it
it's
does.
Got,
like,
it's
this,
got two and Deadpool two and two. Deadpool one are in the wrong like part. Like they should have been above Days of Future Past.
Days of Future Past was a competent movie. That was a good movie.
Like, no, it wasn't. It wasn't.
Good riddance.
It has a cool ending
of X-Men. once and for all, their own cinematic universe. One day we'll get them in the MCU. But until then, In Review will continue. Kev, can you please prep the intro for the next In Review series? This one is a gift to one, Nick Scarpino.
Yes.
Leading in to Cobra Kai season 3, which is January 8th, we will be doing the canon Mr. Miyagi saga of Karate Kid 1, 2, 3, next Karate Kid, Cobra Kai season 1, Cobra Kai season 2, and then Cobra Kai season 3. Will Josh McCuga be a part of this? Bet your goddamn ass you will. Mm-hmm. Very exciting stuff. Anyways, next week we are returning with Joker In Review. So prep for that. That's your homework to essentially close out the Batman universe. But the following week, we're going to do the Batman, all the podcasts from the podcast and all that stuff. A lot of fun stuff for In Review. But this, everything we just said, will close out In Review for this year. We're doing Tenet in December when it finally does launch. So stay tuned. Get hyped. Watch a lot of Karate Kid. Love you guys. Bye. Till next time.
Morph. I don't know what I signed up for.
Morph. 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 Morph.